It is September 23rd, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. 33 years ago today, Cheryl Howard and I exchanged personalized wedding vows at the Glenview Community Church in front of family and friends and became man and wife. It is hard to believe that 1989 has become 2022 so quickly. Life happens fast. Today is a big day for Doug Ashburn, Stephen Brodsky, and Britannica with the launch of the Britannica Money Portal. Britannica Money is the one-stop shop for information and commentary about retirement, investing, and household finance without the jargon or agenda. And congratulations to Doug, who has been promoted to executive editor, Britannica Money. Steve helped find and recruit Doug to the Britannica team. Britannica Money is open for business. It is time to go through your sock drawer and pull out all your old paper banknotes from your trip to London and the UK and turn them in now. There's only a week left for this paper currency to have any value. After September 30th, almost $6 billion of old 50-pound notes and more than $5 billion of 20-pound ones will no longer be accepted by UK businesses, the Bank of England said Friday, Bloomberg reported. Your paper pounds will no longer be legal tender, but they will make good wallpaper. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission extended the application deadline for its spring 2023 SEC Scholars Paid Internship Program to September 30th. They have openings for regional offices and headquarter offices. Regional office law, headquarters law, regional office business, and headquarters business. Gary DeWall and Dan Davis of Catton are out with a new commentary titled CFTC Warns DeFi Traders Exercise Governance Tokens Could Result in Personal Liability for Illegal Activities of DeFi Protocol. CME Group's CME term SOFR is now referenced in revolving credit facilities worth more than $2 trillion. On October 4th, Merrick Sugar is holding its fifth London Sugar Symposium. For information on this event, contact Gertiv Gill at ggill@merricks.com. In conjunction with Climate Week NYC, FTSE Russell has published two new research papers, Green Equity Exposure in a 1.5-degree scenario, Applying Climate Investment Trajectories with Green Revenues, and Decarbonization in Equity Benchmarks, Smoke Still Rising, Sarah Rudolph reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our MarketsWiki Education short of the day is Paul Giorgi. Your future starts with you. In this video from MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity event in Chicago, Paul Giorgi, CEO of Allendale, breaks down what it takes to be successful in the futures industry through the lens of his career. Giorgi started out in the purebred cattle industry, but it went belly up after interest rates went higher and the tax laws changed. After a few years of struggling as a commodity broker, Giorgi and a friend started their own introducing broker business. It gave him the opportunity to grow as well as be creative. Two keys to prosperity in today's futures markets. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the New York Times. 4-day work week brings no loss of productivity, companies in experiment say. Most of the companies participating in a four-day workweek pilot program in Britain said they had seen no loss of productivity during the experiment, and in some cases had seen a significant improvement, according to a survey of participants published on Wednesday. Nearly halfway into the six-month trial, in which employees at 73 companies get a paid day off weekly, 35 of the 41 companies that responded to a survey said they were likely or extremely likely to consider continuing the four-day workweek beyond the end of the trial in late November. All but two of the 41 companies said productivity was either the same or had improved. Remarkably, six companies said productivity had significantly improved. My comment: I have been on a seven-day workweek for so long, I don't even know what this means. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Success at work is warped by your coworkers' salaries. There soon could be pay transparency laws from Wall Street to Silicon Valley. What happens when you know more about what your colleagues make? Like most people with regular jobs that don't require wearing skates to work, professional hockey players had no idea how much money their colleagues made until one morning in 1990 when a newspaper published the salary of everyone in the National Hockey League. It was an extreme case of a topic that captivates economists: pay transparency. So not long ago, intrigued by the consequences of that overnight shock, a researcher decided to exploit this natural experiment, hiding in plain sight. It led to insights that have never been so relevant about how one industry's wage disclosure affected the performance of those employees and their entire teams. Now, a version of what happened in hockey is on the verge of happening across the U.S. My comment: is there such a thing as too much information? Here's a story from Yahoo Finance. Are commission-free brokerages ripping you off? The SEC doesn't think so. Who else is sick of talking about the Fed? Of course, the Federal Reserve and its battle against inflation using higher interest rates is vitally important. But I need a break. So on to another crucial question. Are zero commission brokerages ripping you off? The Securities Exchange Commission is apparently deciding they are not, or at least that the SEC isn't going to do anything about it if they are. Bloomberg reports that the agency has decided not to ban payment for order flow, known as PFOF. That's a practice in which brokerages process customer trades through wholesalers in a way that critics say saddle individual traders with hidden fees. My comment: see no evil. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was a tie between Ken Griffin moved Citadel out of Chicago after colleague was robbed at gunpoint report from the New York Post, and Jamie Dimon calls crypto tokens decentralized Ponzi schemes from Yahoo Finance. Second was Inside a College Student's Abusive Summer from Hell on Wall Street from Insider, which was the top story Wednesday. Third was the LinkedIn page for Kate Leahy, who was just promoted to lead project manager at the CME Group. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is a story from the Financial Times. The headline: Why Trade Couldn't Buy Peace. We thought globalization was immune from geopolitical risk. We were wrong. The story of the human race is war, said Winston Churchill. Except for brief and precarious interludes, there has never been peace in the world. And before history began, murderous strife was universal and unending. In recent decades, policymakers and business leaders who attended gatherings at Davos and had the ears of Western leaders were inclined to think otherwise. After the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, a near consensus prevailed among them that peace was the natural condition of the developed world and that globalization was immune from geopolitical risk. Here's another story from the Financial Times. The headline, how to deal with the problem of submerging markets, a global effort to mitigate the effects of food insecurity, currency weakness, and rising debt is essential. The toxic trifecta of soaring food and energy prices, coupled with the threat of drought, is having a severe impact on a number of developing nations. Several countries, commonly referred to as emerging markets, could perhaps be better described as submerging markets. Sri Lanka, where frustrated citizens stormed the presidential palace in July, could merely be the opening act of a wave of instability across the developing world. In 2015, the G7 made a commitment, reiterated in 2022, to lift over 500 million people out of hunger and malnutrition by 2030. At this point, however, we appear to be going in the opposite direction. The World Food Program predicts that over 320 million people are at risk of acute hunger. And then finally, another story from the Financial Times. The headline, FTX was in talks with FCA about crypto license before watchdogs warning. Digital asset exchange chief Sam Bankman-Fried said group was surprised by UK regulators' action. The Financial Conduct Authority's warning last week against FTX came as the cryptocurrency exchange was trying to secure a UK license, setting up fresh tensions between the market watchdog and offshore crypto players. The FCA last Friday said that the Bahamas-based crypto asset platform run by Sam Bankman-Fried was targeting people in the UK without authorization and warned consumers against dealing with the company. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.